it's good to see everybody out this morning. It's good to be able to gather together, to be here with brothers and sisters in Christ, to be with anyone who desires to worship God and to put God first in their life and continue to do so each and every day. I've been doing a verse of the day every morning shortly after all this began. And this morning, I have been doing that on my Facebook page, and this morning I have used Ephesians 4, and verse 29, which reads, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." And that is certainly what I hope that I do each time that I get up here and presenting the Word of God, is bringing out things that I do believe need to be talked about, and things in which help me and which help others also. And so I hope that you will open up your Bibles and follow along as we go through the lesson this morning. We have to look to the Word of God to see what it has to say in any situation that we're in. And as we've been going through the virus that is out there, the pandemic that is out here today, seems to be that there's usually some kind of lesson that is pointed towards that, or other crises that have been taking place during all this, and it's easy to get caught up and seeing the things going on and talking about that. And again, this morning, a lesson is going to be pointed in that direction, because I believe it's something that we have to continue to keep in our minds, because it's something that is continuously on TV, continuously on the radio, continuously talked about amongst one another. And an attitude of what we have to have as Christians. And so I hope that you will open up your Bible, that you will see that the Word of God is what we are teaching, is what I am teaching. And that we look to the Word of God and apply God's Word into our hearts. From what I can see, it looks like it is raining outside. So I hope that everybody that is outside has made it to their vehicles. So we want to keep them in our prayers as they might be getting wet out there. But we're going to talk about death this morning. And not just death in general, but death in the perspective as a Christian. As someone who is looking to the Word of God and following Christ every day. Because that's the mindset that we should have as we consider death, as we consider such a virus that can kill people. And as we consider death as a whole, with or without the virus. So I hope that you will see and open up your minds and open up your Bibles and see what God has to say about it. I will, throughout this lesson, bring out some statistics of this virus. And it's not my most comfortable spot, and I like to stick with the Word of God, but again, with necessary edification, necessary points to be made, I do believe that it is good to go ahead and bring those out this morning in the lesson. So if you will open your Bibles, the first point that I want to talk about is that death, the end, is inevitable. That it will come. One way or another, we will either face death, or we will face the end of time. It's going to take place. Not one of us is going to be able to escape it. No one in this world can escape it. Doesn't matter if you live for 1,000 years into the future, where technology has once more grown even more, and we know that as technology goes, they find more cures for more things, ways to enhance life, and even if you live that long, at least we can point out that you will eventually face the end of time. That God has set a time to destroy this world. We all have to face it. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19. If you open up your Bibles with me there. Genesis 3 and in verse 19. And of course, we can look to chapter 1 and chapter 2 as God created mankind. In chapter 2, it tells us in verse 7 that God formed man of the dust of the ground. And so you get here to chapter 3 and verse 19, and it says, after they had sinned here, they've sinned, they have fallen short, and now punishment is upon them, and this is what God is saying to Adam here. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. We have to be accepting that. We have to accept that as Christians, is that we will return to dust again. That this physical form of body that we live in, that we possess, will be destroyed. It's not meant, it was not created to last forever. We do have a soul that moves on. We'll talk about that as we go through the lesson. But life on earth will come to an end. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Hebrews chapter 9. And in verse 27, says, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." Again, it is appointed for men to die once. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. We as Christians, as someone who believes in the Word of God, someone who trusts in what God says through the Bible, who wants to follow in the footsteps of Christ, we have to accept this. We have to acknowledge this. And understand is that if we learn to accept it from a Christian point of view, from understanding what the Word of God has to say about it, it is going to change the way in which we react to death and react to the possibility of dying today, of dying tomorrow, of the virus, of any other way of death. Because we're going to see it differently as Christians. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36, Matthew chapter 24 and in verse 36. Here, speaking of the end of time, speaking that God has set a time and day in which He will destroy this world. And here it brings it out, it says, "But of the day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." We are warned of the end of time. We are warned that the Lord shall return. At what time? We don't know. The same point when we talk about death, we don't know when we will have to face judgment. And the key point about that is that we always have to be ready. We always have to be watching and ready and prepared for this time to come. Prepared for death. Prepared for the end of time. Because if we're not prepared, if we haven't accepted that death will come to us, and better yet, the point of what comes after death, as it brings out, after death is judgment, what we read there in Hebrews 9, verse 27. Later on in the lesson, we have some points about heaven and hell, and accepting what comes after life. And if you've accepted, and you said, "I want that home in heaven," and you prepared your life for that home in heaven, then you know what to expect. Not fully expecting, you know, we don't know exactly what it's going to look like. We can only imagine how awesome and how beautiful it's going to be. But it should erase the fear of death. If we can accept these parts and see what the Word of God has to say about it. Death is going to happen. The end of time is going to happen. This, I believe, is the first point that we have to accept as Christians when we're talking about that, is that we have to understand that it is going to happen. And we have to realize how life is short when we talk about death. Whether it is you live to be 90, 100, or whether it is the example we just talked about this morning of a young boy at the age of 10. Death happens. It shows no partiality to anybody. It doesn't matter if you're rich. Doesn't matter your race. Doesn't matter your age. Death is something that we have to face. We're not promised when that will take place. In James chapter 4 and verse 14. James chapter 4 and in verse 14. It says, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Here but for a moment, and then it is gone. Again, another similar verse we can see in Psalm 39, the 39th Psalm. In verses 4 and 5. Psalm 39. In verses 4 and 5. It says, for my iniquities have gone over my head. Like a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. I'm in Psalm 38. Psalm 39, verses 4 and 5. It says, Lord, make me to know my end. And what is the measure of my days? That I may know how frail I am. He said, Lord, let me know. Let me understand. Let me comprehend how short my days are. Because it's going to help me react. It's going to help me live my life the way I ought to. That I may know how frail I am. And verse 5 says, indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best day is but a vapor. Most we are. And of course, when we compare that, because that's what we're comparing. If you will compare, you know, we can sit here and say, man, well, someone who lived this short of a life compared to someone who got to live to their 80s and 90s and 100 years old, there's a huge difference. But when we're considering that 100-year-old person, those who are in the nursing home, to our God, who was there before time ever began, who is still there today, and who will continue to be there in the end of time. It's a short life. Because when we talk about the end of time, when we talk about after our life on earth, we're talking about an eternal life of joy or torment. An eternal life with the wrath of God or the peace of God. When you consider that, you try to wrap your mind around eternity. It doesn't matter how long you live your life upon this earth, it is a short life. At the best, it's still available. We have to accept this as Christians. I'm going to look at some charts here about this COVID-19. And I know if you're out in your vehicle, you may not be able to see this. It will be on, hopefully, Facebook. I might even try to get the PowerPoints literally on there so that it'll be easier to see. This is the death chart of just COVID-19 deaths. It starts all the way back in February 1st. It goes all the way up to July 4th. And we see the peak right here at April 11th through April 18th, and April 25th, it starts to decline. I bring that up because I know the fear, especially when you look at this right here, when it peaked up so high in the middle of April. I can understand I can look at that and say, there was a lot of people dying for this. But as time has gone by, and you relook at it, it is decreasing. It is decreasing quite a bit. But we also have to realize, when we look at total deaths altogether, and these different lines here are the age groups, and I'll show you the age groups here in just a second. I don't want to spend too much time on this because I want to get back to the Bible. But when you look at this, death from February 1st was still happening before they started considering testing people for COVID-19. And then, yes, it peaked there in April. But it's coming back down. And honestly, if you look at the chart right here, man, since July 4th, they may not have all the records for July 4th yet. You know, they may still be getting numbers in. And so, you look back a week or two there. It's evened out, if not lower than where it was February 1st. Guys, death was happening before this virus. Death is happening still now. Understand, it only peaked for a little bit. It's definitely gone down. And when we sit here and we look at the charts here, and it here has the numbers of the age groups, and I couldn't fit the whole picture because it did have 0 to 1, I think, and stuff above this. And I can tell you where. All these are CDC charts, by the way. CDC charts, because I'm not a mathematician. And I'm not going to go sit there and put the percentages out there and try to say this and that. I'm not sitting here saying that we shouldn't be, or should or should not be wearing masks. I'm not up here. I'm not getting into the politics. I'm not getting into. I'm simply looking at what numbers CDC has put out there for us. And saying, death happens. We have to accept that. Because as you look at February 1st, again, and all the way up to February 22nd is where we start to see the first, or maybe February 8th, we got one over here. Because your top numbers there are your COVID-19 deaths, and your bottom numbers are all death is happening outside of COVID-19 also. It's part of life. It's part of life that we live. And so if you look at this, and then you look at where we are here at the end of June, the beginning of July, guys, it's so much lower. You can even go to June 20th up there, and you look at, compared to where it peaked, that's what I got here, is the most. I try to highlight what I saw. I might have missed the wrong ones, but like I said, I can notice there in April. It just seemed you jump from 18,000 for 85-year-olds to 24. Up there at 15 to 24, 570 to 675. But then you jump over here to June 20th, 462, 321. It's back down. What it was, if not a little lower. Death is part of life. Whether it's high or low, we have to accept that. And we're allowing this virus to control our actions, what we say, and our faith. And I say that because as Christians, people are looking at us. As Christians, people are watching your reaction and saying, if they have something to be scared about, then I have something to be scared about. If they have something to fear, then I have something to fear. Because if we are sitting here saying, I have a home in heaven, if something happens to me, my brothers and sisters in Christ, who I believe are living faithfully, I don't know everything they do at home, but I believe to my knowledge are living faithfully, so I don't fear. I mean, I don't want to see them suffer. I don't want to see them go. But if something did happen to my brothers and sisters in Christ, I have hope and faith that they have a home in heaven. Thing is, we don't react this way to the other deaths before it. We're not bringing it up now that it's going down, the fact that other people are dying from other things. We don't sit here and because here's a chart from 2017 versus 2018. Top 10 cases of death. Heart disease, cancer, unintentional injuries. Chronic lower respiratory disease, stroke, Alzheimer's, diabetes, influenza, pneumonia, kidney disease, and suicide. And what struck me, and 2 points I want to bring out on these, is the first one and the third one. Because again, there are things that we can't really control, but we can control someone. Because as you sit here and you point out, when it comes to a heart disease, high blood pressure, high blood cholesterol, smoking are key risk factors for heart disease. About half of Americans, 47%, have at least one of these three risk factors. We can control smoking. And there are certain things you can do about your blood pressure. And there are things you can do about your blood cholesterol. This is the number one cause for death. Do we see people going around changing their lifestyles and telling everybody they need to change their lifestyles and reacting a certain way? Because we fear for their death. We fear for our death. The example that they set on us. As it continues there, here's some of the things that lead to heart disease and diabetes. Once again, there's things you can do about that to help it, right? Overweight, obesity, unhealthy diet, physical inactivity, excessive alcohol use. Things we can be doing stuff about. And yet, we don't look at that cause of death and freak out about it. Number three cause of death. Unintentional injuries. Unintentional. Nothing. You know, it wasn't planned. It wasn't someone falling. Car accidents. Death by poison. Unintentional poisonous death. Guys, this is the number three cause. Number three cause. And how worried are we when we go out and eat thinking, I might get food poison or something might be in there that might kill me? How often do we step up steps and worry about falling? That is one of the points that brings out unintentional fall deaths. Number of 36,338, 11.2 out of 100,000 population. Vehicles. I had some extra notes on the vehicles and I left it down there, but you know, we already made an announcement this morning about it. And if I were to stand up here and I were to give you my track record as a driver, no one would want to drive around. No one would want to get in a vehicle. It's a pretty bad one from when I started driving. It hasn't been so bad as I've gotten older. But I got a pretty bad track record. I got a certain amount of number of tickets. Hoodie seatbelt tickets. Speeding tickets. I've hit a cement truck. I've hit a few deer. I backed into a couple of things. I understand the fear of death in a vehicle. I still drive for that. I still get in vehicles with other people. We don't allow these things to rule our life. And as a Christian, we should. Again, we look at these and we should say, all right, there's some things that we should be cautious about. Right? There's some things that we should be cautious about. Like, you know, unintentional injuries, there's certain things you can do there, right? Said falling. Well, you know, if you're going to climb a ladder, you can make sure that someone's standing at the bottom of the ladder holding it steady. Right? We don't always do that. That's probably a smart thing to do. Precautions. Just like I'm standing up here, I'm not standing and trying to say that you shouldn't wear a mask or practice the 6 feet. I'm not going to get into all that. There's precautions that we can take when we know that certain things lead to illness, injuries, or death. It's the same thing as vehicles. Drive safely. Pay attention. Look both ways. Wearing seatbelts. There's precautions in which we can take that keep us safe. But we don't let it rule our lives. We don't let it change who we are as Christians. And the example that we set for others. Christians' minds need to be focused on Christianity, on righteousness, on holiness. And so that's my next point, is our Christian minds. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, In Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 8, it says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." Focus our minds on getting to heaven. Yeah, I know that doesn't mean 24/7 we're talking about the Word of God and talking about getting to heaven. I enjoy talking about sports. The kids are starting baseball right now. I enjoy talking about some vehicles and love hunting. So we can talk about that stuff too. But we should be looking at things that are praiseworthy, that's there for the edification, there to build up and encourage one another. Again, if there's a reason to warn somebody, and we're warning one another about this virus and what can happen if you go and do this, there's a reason to warn somebody. It's to warn them of hell. It's to warn them that if you do get this virus and you're not prepared to meet your God, then where will you be? Because life, our spiritual life, does not end with our physical death. Our mind should be on heaven. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. It says, "Do not lay up yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for your treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also." This is where our mind should be focused. This is where our hearts should be at. It's not to live another 70 years, another 10 years, another 5 years upon this earth. If we do, then we can thank God for that, right? It's not that I'm sitting here saying, yes, death happens, so go walk out and run the semi. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm saying you have to be prepared for death. I'm saying if we are right in the sight of God, there's nothing to fear with death. Because we have made our lives right with God. Again, if your life is not right with God, then you 100% have something to fear. You absolutely do. Revelation 20 and verse 14. Revelation 20 and verse 14 says, "Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And if anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." That is something to fear. That is something to be afraid of. Chapter 21, verse 8. "Cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." That should scare you if you have not had your sins washed away by the blood of Christ. That should scare you if you have sinned and not went to God in prayer and asked for forgiveness. It should. That there should put fear in your hearts, make you tremble. Is knowing that after my life, that if you do get in your vehicle and something happens, you do trip and fall and something happens to you, if you do get this virus and you face death, that you have to face God. Matthew 10, verse 28. Matthew 10, verse 28. "And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not 2 sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls into the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, value than many sparrows." Again, this verse is, of course, Don't fear men, government that can throw you into prison, that can have you beheaded, have you killed for betrayal, for teaching the truth. Again, it applies for the virus, it applies to the vehicles, it applies to falling down. Whatever causes our death, we should not fear it because it cannot kill your soul. Because it does not have the power to throw you into torment. And guess who does? God does. And so as we read in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, wisest man of all, Solomon, he says the conclusion is this: fear God and keep His commandments. Why? Because if you don't, you face His wrath. You face His punishment. But as we fear hell, and when we say fear hell, that is fearing God. Because He's the one that puts us there. Satan does not take us there and torment us there. Satan is going there and is trying to drag you down with him as he is drowned. He is simply reaching up, grabbing whatever he can, whoever he can, to try to pull himself up. And he pulls you down with him. Because this place has been prepared for him and his angels. Rather than fear, though, we can turn to God and put that fear behind us. We can turn to God and live at peace in our life. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. I'm going to start in verse 17. 1 John 4 and verse 17 says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. It says we approach judgment, we approach the end of time boldly. Why? Because we trust God and His promise. He says, I will forgive your sins and remember them no more. How? By repenting of your sins, by confessing your faith, by being baptized, immersed in the water with your faith, that Jesus' blood, through faith, washes your sin away. Guys, if you do that, I promise you come up out of that water. And your faith is true, then you don't have anything here anymore. You feel the weight of the world, the weight of worries, the weight of fear. It's gone. Why? Because God's washed it away. You put your trust into Him and you lean on Him and He will carry you. You have to be willing to take that step. You have to be willing to do these steps. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison, that you may be tried and have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Living a faithful life to God. Walking in the footsteps of Christ. Again, you have nothing to fear. You are setting yourself up for that home in heaven. 22 and verse 4 of Revelation. Revelation 21 and verse 4. It says, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. The former things have passed away. I believe this is my last point. As Christians, we look forward to that day that we can spend eternity with God. We don't fear the end of time. We look forward to the end of time. We look forward to spending a life with Christ. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul, as you read through this, you start up in verse 19 and read down. Paul's saying, you know, I look forward to that day and I hope that I can see it, but it is better for me, it is better for you that I live and continue on so that I can continue to preach the word, continue to strengthen you, continue to aid you. And understand, that's the same thing for us all. Mom and dads, want to continue to live so that they can help their children and grandchildren. Brothers and sisters want to be able to help one another. And so we want to continue our life upon this earth so that we can be here for one another. We don't fear the end because it will be better if your life is right with God. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, another verse that speaks to the end of time, but it speaks of how we look at it. It says here in verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking forward and hasting the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." As a Christian, we are ready for that day. As a Christian. And so we look to 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2 here. It brings out today is the day that we need to obey the gospel. Today is the day. You need to make sure you examine your life, and if you have sin in your life that you know of, that you ask God for forgiveness. You don't wait. You don't wait till you leave home, leave the building. You say a prayer right now for yourself and ask God for forgiveness. You have not been baptized, and you come forward and you get baptized and wash away your sins, because we're not promised anything outside those doors. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2 says, "For He said, an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." The lesson is yours. I thank you for listening. I hope that I've helped. I hope that you see that I simply try to bring out the Word of God, what it has to say of how we should react to death. And I ask you, if you have been afraid, and as I said, you look at the numbers, especially during April, that it could have been a scary time during that. But if your life is right in the sight of God, there wasn't a huge amount of fear. Yeah, we could have got sick, could have done some suffering. But you know the end result is being rewarded for having faith in serving God. If you have not done that, we plead with you, we beg you, we sing a song of encouragement to encourage you. Make your life right with God. Don't wait till you get the virus. Don't wait till you're in an accident. Don't wait till that moment of life and death. Make your election sure right now as we stand and sing.